and the PowerPoint will hopefully come up in just a moment. This sermon that Jesus preached was a shock to the churchy folk. They didn't like it at all. And I want to say, bless all of you. It's a cold night. You've already listened to 7 or 8 people. I'm going to try and do this in 20 minutes for your sake, my sake, everybody's sake. But let's just pray that we can hear God in 20. I can think you can hear God in 20 minutes as much as you can hear God in 40 minutes, 50, whatever. But I've got disturbing news for you. Because too often church is how we expect it to be. What makes us comfortable? How we like it. And that was the problem with the people Jesus preached to on that day. And that's why they got furious with him. Because I hate to tell you, he said, the kingdom of God is not for people like you who think they're sorted, for the complacent and the smug and the proud and the devout and the religious. Jesus says, I've come with great news on a Saturday afternoon, but it isn't for you. Picture the scene, the synagogue. It's a Saturday, Sabbath time, the scriptures being read, and Jesus is there and he just says, today is a good news event. The one phrase that is admitted from the passage, he didn't even use the word from Isaiah, the day of vengeance of our God, leaves that bit out. But he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I've got prophetic anointing, messianic anointing. This is the time when God's kingdom is going to break in. And it's good news. It's good news to the poor. It's good news to those who are messed up, screwed up, that people have marginalized and rejected. It's good news for the prisoners, for those who are imprisoned by all kinds of things. It's good news for the blind who can't see spiritually or physically. It's a release for those who are oppressed by injustice and wrong judgments. It's God's favor, God's kindness for those who are in trouble. But if you're none of those things, then you don't need God. And so it isn't good news for you, he said. On Friday, one of the things I'm involved with is Hope into Action, helping churches house the homeless. And if you know anything about homelessness, you know that most people who are homeless, it's not because they haven't got a roof. They haven't got relationships. They haven't got families. They've got issues of addiction, of being in prison, of prostitution, of compulsive behavior that messes them up. And Hope into Action tells them that the good news has come for them. And 1 in 10 of the people that they house, and it's a fantastic story, over 8 years, they've now got 50 houses, and they house something like 150, 180 people. And 1 in 10 is released by Jesus. And it can be great news for us here in wherever I am, Stoke-on-Trent, Newcastle, I get, you know, the Potteries, that's where I am, the Potteries, that's the kind of thing. Great news here. Because as Jesus said, I'm anointed. So God is still anointing people by his Spirit to be good news and to take it to the broken and those in need. And you and I are called, and this is the great news, and it's scary though. You and I are called to be anointed, to take good news. You're not called to have a great time on your own. You're not called that you may be blessed, although all of that will happen. You are called that you might be anointed to take the good news to other people. There are people, friends, work colleagues, neighbors, who need to know that they can be released, who need to know that they can be given sight, who need to know that God is on their side, because they are told every day by society that they're rubbish. There was one lady who has been a street worker, been in prison, had drug issues, the whole lot. And when you unpacked it, her mother had told her every night she was evil. She was a waste of space. There are people round here and round wherever you are who need to be told that they are not a waste of space, that God loves them, they are precious, and God wants you and me to go and tell them. And I could tell you about Maudie, 88, lonely, depressed. And at 88, she discovered Jesus. And the last 2 years of her life, she said, were the best, because she found a church community that loved her. And she was no longer broken and isolated. Or Lorne, the businessman who suddenly got ill and his life fell apart and he knocked on the church door and someone found him on a wet January night and it was all a muddle and it shouldn't have worked. How God could, on a wet night when we couldn't even find the key to the church and they had to pray in the car and it was... He knew that God loved him. And on that night, he said he would have committed suicide if he hadn't found someone to stop and pray with him. Or Craig, who'd never heard about God in his life, but someone invited him to an Easter service and he walked in and became a Christian on the spot. How does that happen, God? He didn't know that Jesus died for his sins. He didn't know he had to repent. He just knew he'd come home. And he knew that Jesus loved him and he was precious to God. So it's great news. But the shocking thing is, it was not the news they wanted. Jesus preaches his heart out, explains it, but they didn't want that news. Oh, they're a bit surprised he impresses. He can string words together quite well, this Jesus, can't he? Joseph's son, he's done well for himself, hasn't he? And at first they like it. They've heard the poetry of Isaiah, it's great. Reminds them of their hope. But what they're hearing is that God's going to get rid of the Romans. God's going to show who the truly privileged people are. Us. We're the goodies. Get rid of the rubbish. And so actually, at first, they're really comfortable. God's going to bless them. This is great. They don't disturb at all. They reinforce all their sense of entitlement, privilege, and status. And then Jesus, having read them, was going to comment. This was one of these dramatic moments, which our friend there would do with just great aplomb. He's read and he's about to throw the hand grenade in. And the eyes of everyone were on him, fastened on him, expectant, masterful suspense. Was he going to announce an uprising? Was there going to be an army? Was God going to send his angels to get rid of all those nasty people that aren't like us? He'd done great things in Capernaum, so perhaps he was going to do great things in Nazareth too. And Jesus says, today this scripture's fulfilled in your hearing. Pardon? What did you say? Today, Jesus says, I have come as God's anointed one. They had waited centuries for this, for Joseph's son to be the one. He's claiming the messianic title. That God's promises are going to be realized in Jesus. And they had not understood at all that Jesus was not just the local boy made good. He isn't just Joseph's son. He's the Son of God. He is the Son, not just the Son of humanity. He's the Son of God, he's a new Adam, not just a descendant of Adam. He's the founder of a new kind of humanity to be found in harmony with their maker. Jesus says, I've come to be good news, not just for Nazareth, not just for Israel, for the whole world. Well, that was too much for little Israelite minds. Oh, it's all right if it's for us, but for other people too? And then he just makes it worse, doesn't he? Because he says, truly I say to you, just as in the times of Elijah, God sent prophets to those who weren't of the nation of Israel, so now God has sent Jesus for those who don't quite fit, who don't look like the rest of us, who don't know how to behave in nice company. They could not claim the Messiah exclusively for themselves. The Israelites had been passed over in favor of the Gentiles. And Jesus said, you may reject me, but others will receive me. And my plan is always that people might choose life, might know life and find life in Jesus. For those who've always seen themselves as the chosen ones, it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call to understand that God will treat everyone generously, that everybody can be chosen, that all are welcome. And the atmosphere's changed, and people have got grumpy and cross. They are now angry. Oh, what a fickle congregation. Baptist congregations would never be like that, would they, those of you who are in ministry? One minute they love you, the next minute they want you to go. Well, it does happen, but there we go. This fickle congregation said in one breath they wanted the Messiah, and then when the Messiah came, they said, we don't want the Messiah like that. Thank you very much. One minute they idolize you and think you're awesome, the next they're furious and dismissive. Jesus spoke well and they were impressed, but they didn't like the implications of when he unpacked it. And so they became furious when he dared to suggest that God might rescue others and not them. And that's the really disturbing thing about this passage. Jesus was rejected not by the unbelievers, the pagans, or the demonic. He was not rejected by the blind, the poor, or the oppressed who knew they needed help. It is Jesus' own people who will not journey with him. His ministry began with rejection, and it ends with rejection in Jerusalem. And so we have to ask ourselves, is Jesus the good news that we want? We've become so complacent, haven't we? So comfortable in our churches. We sing the songs we like. We sing the music that, well, some of it we like, some of it I know. If we took a straw poll, we'd have all different views tonight, but there we go. We sit in nice, comfortable seats, and we sit at the back, you know, not at the front, except some of you at the front. So, you know, it has to be comfortable for us. You see, we've kind of domesticated God. We've kind of made God so that we can be comfortable with him. And that's very dangerous. For then we only have a very reduced God who cannot work in power and authority and majesty amongst us. And if you're saying, well, why aren't we seeing God do more? Because you have reduced God to a puppet, to doing what you want, not letting God be the sovereign Lord of all things who wants to bring uncomfortable things about. As one bishop put it recently, I hope these words will disturb us. I hope they will challenge the conventions of the church. I think C.S. Lewis put it much better. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course Aslan isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. If we want to see the good news as God intended, we are going to have to get a lot more uncomfortable. We're going to have to risk more. We're going to have to change more so that God can see his, pour his kingdom out into us. God is infinitely good, full of love and kindness, but he's not safe. And he anoints us and challenges us in our comfortable, ordered lives and says, I have so much more for you. But you cannot receive it if you play it safe. You cannot receive it unless you allow the adventure of the Holy Spirit to take you wherever the Holy Spirit will take you. And so Jesus is disturbing news. Jesus says to every one of us, you cannot do this. And there are a lot of Baptist ministers here. And as far as bringing the kingdom is concerned, we're not very good at it. We are in decline as a denomination. Oh, there's great stories of what God is doing. But there's a lot of stories of stuff not working. All of us need to be saved day by day. Every day I need to be rescued by God from myself. Every day I need God's help to choose life, not death. And Jesus said to this synagogue congregation, you need to be saved. And I say to us, we need to be saved from a culture that is so self-interested and puts self in the middle. It's disturbing to declare today that all are broken. Everybody needs putting back together, and Jesus is the unique one to do it. It is disturbing because anointed people affirm scripture as God's truth and say, just obey God's truth. It's not complicated, but it is hard. But just do it. We would rather dilute the word of God and make it socially acceptable and offer a politically correct sort of truth. It is disturbing because anointed kingdom leaders declare good news, which gives no room for bullies and oppressors, for the unjust, the dishonest, and the arrogant. This first sermon of Jesus is a proclamation of what God has done through grace, through kindness and generosity. There's no encouragement to the legalist, the tick box mentality. It undermines all attempts to use kingdom messages to control others. To all who received him, everyone, he gave power to be children of God. And this is disturbing because it's so inclusive. Jesus' message is salvation for the world. If the synagogue hearers could not accept that, if the church folks cannot accept that, then the message was not for them. If we cannot affirm this great news for Muslims, for atheists, for failures, for criminals, for terrorists, for the broken, then we cannot claim it for ourselves. I challenge myself to have much bigger arms open to all that God wants to do. I've already mentioned Hope into Action. On Friday, I had the pleasure of listening to women from Hull speak about how they were finding life through the Lighthouse Project in Hull. Street workers, all of them, who had horrendous stories of life as they grew up, of drug addiction, of having to sell their bodies simply to put food on the table for their children. It was a choice between heating the house or food, and everything that goes with that, the mental health issues, the struggles, the fallbacks and all kinds of things. But you could just see a level of joy because they have found good news. Yes, it's disturbing news. Yes, people who are very broken, who come into our churches, don't know how to behave and it upsets all the apple carts. Isn't that great? We need more disturbing news, not disturbing news, as I can see up there. Some of us just can't. We need to be disturbed more often. We have got too complacent, too comfortable, too much thinking, we know it all. God have mercy on us and help us to be disturbed again. Let me pray for you.